Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message.
Well, if you're just joining with us, we start a brand new message series today entitled Under Construction. And on that note, if you are visiting today, we just built this whole thing for props to set up the new message series. If you're a member here or been coming here a while, you know that we're going to be under construction for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And it was a really easy thing to call the next series Under Construction. But my name is Terry. It's a joy to welcome you here today. And it's so true in our life that in our world, many times we're under construction, whether it be house projects, whether it be life projects. A lot of times we go through and it's difficult to stay centered. Case in point, it's amazing right now my wife and I were going through looking at furniture. And between going to the dentist and going furniture shopping, I don't know, it's a coin flip, to be really honest with you. Because I think there are a couple different types of individuals. There are those individuals when you go and you're going shopping, for instance, it's not necessarily just a gender thing. It's just a personality thing, I think. And sometimes, you know, when my wife and I go in, my wife will go in and she'll go and she'll start talking and she'll utter questions like, you know, is this come in a performance fabric? Does this come in, what color taupe does this come into? How many flavors? Ooh, the wall of fabrics. That's amazing. And when I walk in, the wall of fabrics makes me want to run out the door. And when we went in, we were shopping and we're going through. Here's kind of what I go through in my process. Okay, go in, looks good. Too hard. Too soft. I feel like it's the Three Bears. Just right. Okay, great. Now, truth be told, we were sitting there and there was this one couch that I kind of went to and I sat there and my wife she's asking all these different kinds of questions, all these detailed questions about fabric styles and will it catch on anything? You know, is it soft to the touch? I'm tuning all of that out. And truth is, and guys, or if you're there and you're kind of like me, this is a little hint. Usually they have the price tag on the left side of the couch. And you don't want to be obvious in front of the sales associate. In fact, one of the sales associates comes to our church, so if you're here, you can chuckle at me later. But I'm sitting here, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, you know, if you do a little bit of lean, like, you know, like this, like you're just relaxing, and if you nod the head, it makes it realize that you're really paying attention. But then slowly, with your hand, you could grab the ticket, and you could turn it, and you could look at it. And that way, it moves the conversation along, because when I would grab the ticket, and if it was way outside the price range that I was looking for, I was like, hey, there's a beautiful couch over here. Let's go take a look at it. And Jennifer kept wondering why I kept interrupting the conversation. But I think there are two different types of individuals. There's my personality, which is, hey, I just want to get to the facts. Just give me the facts, get straight to it. And then there are those that are just, they want to know all the details. Well, here's setting this up. The good news is for a lot of us in this room, God really requires us to be under construction. And the way that we begin constructing is we have to go back to the foundation. And the foundation really gives us direction for where we want to be in life. And so I would say this, for some of you in this room, here's the good news. I'm going to give you information today that if you're like me, you're going to get the facts straight at you. And then you could probably sleep for about 5 minutes in between my questions and points. For those of you that love high detail, you're going to get that too. And you're going to be able to tell some information that will give you confidence as you grow in your relationship with Christ. We're going to build this beginning off of one verse out of the Bible, out of Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 1. It goes from 7 to 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. You can follow along on the screen here, and let me set this up. Here it goes. It says this, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Now, I stop there because many of you know this scripture. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. And you love that. I actually think that is not the most important part of that verse. I think be strong and courageous is wonderful, and I think that's great. I actually think the next part of that verse is the most important, which we just read. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Here's the case in point. If you're like me and my personality, let me give it to you straight. What the author basically is saying is, look, The commandments, the truth that God gives us, if you actually follow those and you don't deviate, you don't make things up, you don't add things to it, but instead you read it, you understand it, you know it, and you live and base your decisions off of that filter. If you do that, you will be successful in life. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you're not a Christian and you don't believe in Jesus, but you open the Bible, you read something, and you base a decision off of what it says in the Bible, you're going to be more successful in life. That's what that passage talks about. And if you've been a Christian or a believer in Christ for many years, you know this to be true because it gives you wisdom. It gives you discernment. It gives you a lot of information to help your moral compass move forward in life. Here's the problem for many of us. If I were to ask the audience here today, sitting here on the floor watching online, how many of you have actually read the Bible? The truth is, there'd probably be about 16 to 20% of you in this room that could raise your hand and say, I have read the Bible. 84% statistically, I talk a lot about the Bible, but I've never actually read it. And if you've never actually read the Bible, and I'm not here to give a guilt trip, so if you're new to here or whatever, this is not why I'm setting this up. But if you've never really read the Bible, you don't understand context, you don't understand what it really, really means. You might have a verse here and get close to the meaning, but you don't understand the context. If you don't know the context, you don't have a filter. If you don't have a filter, when you make decisions in life, it might be right, it might be wrong, according to what God actually wants. And what we see in Scripture is if you want to have a successful life, you have to have the right filter. There's a guy by the name of George Barna. He does research in the United States, and he does it in churches and everything. And he ran a statistic on individuals who actually read the Bible and apply it to their lives. And I want you to read this quote. This comes from George Barna. The primary reason that people do not act like Jesus is because they don't think like Jesus. Behavior stems from what we think, our attitudes, beliefs, values, and opinions. Although most people own a Bible and know some of its content, our research found that most Americans have little idea how to integrate core biblical principles to form a unified and meaningful response to the challenges and opportunities of life. We're often more concerned with survival amidst chaos than we are experiencing truth and significance. Simply put, Americans have strong biblical opinions, but very limited Bible knowledge. You simply can't live out what you haven't learned. And the truth here in this room is there's a lot of you that have strong biblical opinion, but if I were to ask you, do you know the Bible? Do you understand context? And do you live your life understanding core principles? You could say, maybe, but you wouldn't have a strong confidence. So here's what we're going to do today. Obviously, we're under construction, so we're going to do the message a little differently. I put together five questions. Five questions that if you're in the room, maybe you're a skeptic, maybe you don't necessarily believe in Jesus, maybe you're someone who hasn't read the Bible. And you'd sit there and say, Terry, you know, I try, but it's difficult. You know, I get bored or I don't understand and everything else. I put five questions that are going to help us to really understand what the Bible is, but most importantly, why we should incorporate it in our daily lives. So here's question number one. How can I trust and know that the Bible is accurate? There's a lot of you in here, and you would say, Terry, the reason why I don't go to it, the reason why, is because, you know what? I mean, the Bible's old. It's been around a long time. I mean, how do I know? Why should I invest so much into it? I mean, I've heard, I watch TV, I watch the news. I mean, they tell me the truth all the time. And I hear things that the Bible, you know, is outdated and everything else. So why should I, Terry? I don't know you. Some of you are new and you don't even know who I am. Why should I trust you telling me that the Bible is worth picking up and reading? Well, if you're taking notes, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, download it. You'll have all the notes so you don't have to write them all down. But if you're a note taker, you need to write this down. And so let me answer that question. How do we know that the Bible is accurate? Here we go. Let's take a look. First, we have manuscript evidence. A manuscript is an original document copied by hand. So let me kind of illustrate this point. When you have someone that authors a document for the very first time, a manuscript is when someone takes that original document and then side by side, word for word, takes a pen and writes word for word and copies directly from the original source. That's a manuscript. It's not a copy. It's a manuscript. That's the difference. Some of you are like, man, that's good. I'm going to write that down. That's not even in the notes. But that's a manuscript, okay? So now, did you know in history, the works of Plato, if I asked everyone in this room, do you believe Plato existed? Most everyone in this room would raise your hand. I heard it in school. It must be true. Do you know that throughout history, the reason why we trust that Plato actually, there were works by him, he lived on this earth, he was very smart. Do you know that there is only 7 manuscripts of Plato's work. That the information we got from Plato, that there's only 7 hand-by-hand copies passed around through generations to prove that Plato existed and that what he said was actual and truthful. But everyone in this room, I won't say everyone, most of you in this room, would without a shadow of a doubt, did Plato exist? Amen. Yes, he did. There's only 7. Julius Caesar. Some of you in high school have to do a play by Julius Caesar. You have to basically live your, you know, incorporate it, et tu brute, you see plays, different things like that. Everyone in this room would say, Terry, Julius Caesar absolutely lived on this earth. If you go to Italy and you'll see sculptures and statues, he absolutely lived on this earth. Do you know that there are only 10 manuscripts from his original time of living documenting where he's from and who he is? The Iliad and Homer, 643 manuscripts that talk of the stories of this. So reason why I set this up is this. The Bible. Terry, how do we know that when we read this Bible, how do we know that from all those years ago that what was written in the Bible actually happened or is actually truth? Do you know that the Bible has more manuscripts, not even close to these? These are some of the most manuscripts. These 3 that I quoted are some of the most manuscripts in historical evidence. Do you know how many manuscripts of the Bible from hand-to-hand copies that we have in existence today to hope to hold its accuracy? 24,000. 24,000 manuscripts written of the Bible. It's not even close. Now, here's another reason why you can trust the accuracy of the Bible. The time that it was written. So let's say all of a sudden something happens. Well, individuals know. They talk about it. It's word from word from word from word. And then all of a sudden a manuscript is written down to document exactly what happened. And the time between the actual event and when it was written down, the accuracy sometimes can get muddied. Does that make sense? So let's take a look going back again. The works of Plato, 1,200 years after Plato, manuscript evidence. Gallic Wars, Julius Caesar, 1,000 years after it happened, penned down through history, manuscript. Iliad, Homer, 500 years, written down. In the New Testament, the life of Jesus, 50 to 100 years after the actual event, is penned down and passed on to generations, showing that the closer you are to writing it down from when it actually happened, the more accurate it becomes. Some of you have read online or you've watched movies or different things or watched TV shows, and you've seen TV shows on the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947. They contained every book of the Old Testament except Esther, proving the Bible remained intact and accurate after 1,000 years. Watch this. So all of a sudden, 1,000 years ago, we have a manuscript. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, I've been there, I've seen the caves. In 1947, all of a sudden, a young little Bedouin boy was out there. He was throwing rocks. He's thrown rocks all of his life into these caves. And he's heard rocks hit rock, rocks hit rock, rocks hit rock. And all of a sudden, he throws one and he hears a ching. So he climbs up to a cave that is hard to get into. It's really no easy access. And when he goes in, his rock hit a cistern. In that cistern were all the scrolls of almost every book of the Old Testament. And so from 1,000 years ago was the last manuscript. He pulls out these scrolls and he reads them. And the word for word of the Old Testament he found to be right on, spot on, accurate. If you don't believe that the Bible is accurate, then you're fighting history. If you don't believe in Jesus, but you believe Julius Caesar exactly how it happened, that's what it happened. You've got more faith than Christians do. Because the Bible is the most accurate document throughout history. So here's a second question for some of you. Okay, Terry, what is so special about the Bible? Is it supernatural? Now, before I'm not getting all crazy here, but I will tell you, does the Bible contain things that we cannot explain by man? Yes. And for you skeptics in the room, I'm going to prove it to you today. I'm going to just say it now. Right now, you're looking at me, you're saying, oh, here we go. He's going to, you know, make us look at something, and he's going to say, see, I told you, and we're going to say that could have happened. I'm about to prove to you why the Bible is supernatural. And then you're going to say, I told you so. You ready? Take a look at this. The Bible contains scientific principles previously unknown by man, proving it came from God. Here's my point. In the Bible, we actually see science. I'm not an enemy of science. I believe God created science. And in the Bible, God actually, before it was discovered, God gave us insight into scientific principles. Take a look at this chart. The hydrologic cycle is found and described in the book of Job in the Bible, chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. That book was written in 1440 BC. We didn't discover it until 1700 as man. The expansion of the universe was penned in Psalms 104, 1 through 2 in 700 BC. We didn't confirm that or announce that until 1929 by telescope. Wind patterns were described in Ecclesiastes 1, 5 through 7 in 800 BC. We didn't describe that or discover it until satellites picked it up in 1960. Ocean currents, Ecclesiastes 1, 5 through 7, 700 BC. Maury discovered it in 1855. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, whatever. Okay, you try telling me about this one. In the book of Isaiah 40, 22, it describes the earth as being round. That was written in 800 BC. We didn't discover the earth was round until 1543. I'm going to read you the verse from Isaiah so you can see it for yourself. It is he, meaning God, who sits above the what? Circle of the earth. Circle of the earth. Written before Christ. Discovered. If you don't think the Bible is supernatural and incredible and amazing and something worth picking up and really devoting your life to, again, I'm trying to give you historical evidence. Question number three. Do the places in the Bible actually exist? I've heard there are contradictions. Again, some of you say, well, Terry, we read about this, but did that place exist? Do we really know that that's where it's at? Do we really know that this has happened? So let me kind of give you some archaeological facts. Take a look at this. Archaeological evidence. It has been categorically stated that no archaeological find has ever contradicted anything in biblical reference. That's archaeologist Nelson Gluck. Furthermore, the geography of the Bible lands and visible remains of antiquity were gradually recorded until today. More than 25,000 sites within this region and dating to Old Testament times have been located. Donald J. Wiseman. 25,000 sites in the Bible have been discovered within the Holy Lands. In fact, I have walked with many individuals. We're going later this year in December. If you want to join us, sign up for it. It's going to be an amazing time. But later in this year, we will stand at a place that is thousands of years before Christ. Actually stand on the remnants of an old city and actually see a sacrificial altar described in the Old Testament sitting there, unearthed and uncovered, that you'll be able to see, wow, what's in this Bible is actually living and alive today. Question number four. Isn't the Bible out of date and irrelevant? And one of the biggest arguments I get, especially from younger individuals, is, well, Terry, you know, the stuff in the Bible really doesn't comply to life today. Well, if you actually read the Bible and you understand its context, you absolutely understand that the principles are timeless in the Bible and in Scripture. And so as you read this, Terry, why are you hearing arguing that the Bible is relevant to today? Well, let me give you some statistics of today's day time. Take a look at this. The Bible is the world's all-time bestseller. It's been a number one bestseller for 300 years. 32,000 copies are printed daily, one every 3 seconds to keep up with demand in the world today. It's been translated into 1,000 different languages already, more than any book in history. If you think the Bible is outdated or irrelevant, around the world today, people cannot wait to get their hands on it. Did you know this? The Bible is the most stolen book of all time. People can't wait to get their hands on it. I'm just telling you. That was a joke. You can insert laugh here. Thank you. Fifth question. I've heard people tell me that the Bible has predicted things to happen. Is that true? Of all things, the most supernatural and amazing things about the Bible is what we call prophecy. It's where something written way back in history actually comes to fruition. Now, I'm going to make a statement. There are a lot of interesting individuals who claim to be theologically accurate and claim to be amazing pastors and everything else who will put their life on the line and say something's going to happen this day or this year. If you actually read the Bible and understand the Bible, we do not know the days or the times of which Jesus is coming or when it will happen. We have signs and we can see it, but anybody who looks at you says, I know the day, they don't know their Bibles because they've not read it. So don't listen to the TV or the sensationalism and people claiming. Read your Bibles and you will know that that's not true. However, let me give you some evidence of prophecy that is true. Take a look at this. The Bible contains more than 1,000 prophecies. So far, 668 of them have come true. The statistical chance of those prophecies being fulfilled is 1 times 10 to the power of 17. Math people, you're welcome. This would be like covering the state of Texas 5 feet deep in quarters, painting one of them red, sifting through the trillions of them, and actually finding it. If you don't believe that the Bible is an amazing book, you've got more faith than I do. So Terry, what do we do with this? Okay, you told me so. The Bible is amazing. The Bible is accurate. The Bible has so much. The Bible has information that I should care about in my life. I feel like it's going to a furniture store, and I feel like some of you don't pick it up because you feel as if you have to sit there and you have to look at the performance fabric, the different colors, and you get overwhelmed. When I go to a furniture store this weekend and I looked at the wall of fabrics, I wanted to walk out. I just didn't want anything to do with it. Now, it has great information, and it's really, really important, and I should care, but at the end of the day, I don't. I just want a couch. And for some of you in this room, the reason why you don't pick up your Bibles and read it is because there's so much information, you get overwhelmed, and everything else, I just give up. Doesn't mean it's not important, though. So let me break it down for you furniture shoppers like me. Here are some things that I really want to challenge you to. Take a look at this. And by the way, if you've seen this before, every 6 months you're going to see this, because every 6 months as pastor of this church, I'm going to continue to say it. And if you get tired of it, tough. You need to pick your Bibles up. You need to spend time in them, because you will have a successful life if you do it. First thing I want to encourage you in studying the Bible, pick a place. Don't just randomly pick it up. Pick a place. Pick a couch, pick a sofa. Guys, if you have a Barco lounger that's really comfortable and you can stay awake, pick it. Pick it where you're not distracted. Some of you moms who are running around and have no privacy and you got multiple kids, go to the bathroom and lock the door. Notice I said lock the door, because sometimes kids don't care. They just open it up anyway. But find a place free of distractions. The second thing I want to encourage you to is to take 15 minutes of your day. If you can't take 15 minutes, take two. If you can't take two, take four. I'm going up. Notice that. You have to take at least two. Now take a look at this. Plan for it. The first thing I want to encourage you as a church, if you've been a Christian before, we encourage you to join us in reading the one-year Bible. It's 15 minutes every day. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. It breaks it up day by day by day, so if you read it every day for a year, you will have read the Bible. I have so many emails from individuals. I have an email from an 81-year-old who all their life came to church with biblical opinion. And for the first time in their life, they finally read the Bible and they said, Terry, I finally understand what I've been doing wrong for so long. Could you imagine being 81 of your years of your life saying, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, and finally read the Bible and realize, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Pick a time, 15 minutes, read. If you do that every day, type A's in the room. I know what you're going to do. You're going to know a lot about the Old Testament. You're going to know a lot about Genesis and Exodus. You're going to know a lot about Jesus. And let me tell you why. Because the one-year Bible, when you start in January, you're going to do great for the first month. And then life's going to really kick in February. And then all of a sudden, you're going to stop reading. Because in January, you're going to read about Genesis and Exodus. And you're going to read about Jesus. So you're going to know a lot about those pieces of the Bible. Because some of you have been trying for the last 5 years. But what happens in February is you get to a place and you stop and you say, oh, I missed the day. Ah, I give up. And you throw it aside because you're not perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about every day spending time with Jesus. And so if you miss a day, skip the day. Some of you are like, well, I can do that. Yes, you can. You can. It's going to be okay. So read. The next thing I would encourage you to do is relax. Don't take yourself so seriously. Relax a little. Open up. Take your time. A guy by the name of Max Lucado, a famous Christian author, I'll never forget an article I read by him. They asked him about his time that he spends every day with God. He says, some days I'll read a chapter. Some days I'll read a paragraph. Some days I read one word and God stops me in my tracks. And that's my devotion for the day. So relax. Don't make it about a certain amount. Sometimes you just have to read and stop and say, God, you just spoke to me. God, that was a promise. God, thank you. And that's okay. Read. Take your time. If you're like me and you just want to know how much it is and what the fabric's like, I want to encourage you. Just read. If you can't do 15 minutes, do 7, do 6. But just read. Reflect. Ask the who, the what, the when, the how. Talk with a friend later. If you don't understand what you're reading, don't give up. Instead, I want to encourage you. Write this down. For those of you who don't understand a lot about the Bible, I encourage you to pick up a Life Application Bible. And when you pick up a Life Application Bible, on the bottom is the chief cheat sheet. It's the Cliff Notes. And so if you run into trouble, you can find the information down below. The next thing I would say is record. Some of you find yourself, if you ever find yourself in life falling into the same traps, if you're an anxiety-ridden individual, and in life, every time you reach a certain point, you find yourself in the same position. When you spend time with God and God gives you a passage of scripture and you write it down and it gets you through, you need to write it down so the next time that you face it, you pull it back out and say, wait a second, I was here, this is what God said, this is his promise, I need to fight. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the last thing I would say is request. And request means call out to God. There is not a specific way to do it. Yes, there are some scriptural ways to do it. But cry out to God. If you're angry at God, tell God. If you need him today, yell at him. God would much rather have you talking with him than say, well, Terry, I don't know how to pray. I don't know the right way to pray, so I don't pray because I don't know the right way to pray. Do you know what God would say to that? And I did this in the first service. I don't like speaking on behalf of God, but I feel I know the scriptures enough to be able to say this on behalf of God, that if you are avoiding talking to him because you don't know how to pray, God will look at you and say, just talk to me for goodness sakes. I'm right here. Forget the formulas. Just talk. I know you're angry. I know your heart. Talk. I know you're mad because of what happened in your life. Talk. Just talk to me. I'm right here. So for some of you, you just need to get beyond the formulas, beyond the plans, and just talk. Last thing I would tell you is versions of the Bible. I use the New Living Translation every single Sunday that I preach from. If you don't have a Bible, I recommend the New Living Translation. Now, what's a translation? Let me tell you what a translation is. A translation is taken from the original Greek and Hebrew, the original language of the Bible. Did you know that the Bible was not written in English first? I just wanted you all to know that in case you didn't know that. The original Greek and Hebrew is written. And a translation is a manuscript taken directly from the original Greek and Hebrew, either word for word or thought for thought. In our denomination, in our convention, the New Living Translation is an approved translation of the Bible. I use it. And the reason why I use it, it's really easy for individuals to understand. Now, if you like to go to seminary and you want to get a degree and you want to, I want word for word, then you can do the New American Standard Version. I recommend that. That's one of my study Bibles, and I encourage you to do that. But get a translation. If it's called Message, if it's called Amplified, if it's called other different things, then you want to make sure that a translation is what you're using to really hear from God, because a translation goes to the original thought or the original word for word. I close with this, and for those of you visiting, this is a very, very different Sunday, as many of our regular members know. But I close with saying this. Every week I get up here, and every week I point to that screen, and every week I say, you should change your life because of what this screen says. And I know there's a lot of people in this room that say, why? Why should I trust what those words on the screen mean? If you can't see that the Bible is important for your life, or if you can't see that it's necessary for a successful life, then you have more faith than I do. And in a second, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for those of you in this room for strength and encouragement to be able to take the Bible and to be able to invest in it and to be able to learn to have a successful life. But I'm also going to pray for those of you who are going to walk out of this room and continue to put the Bible on the side and say, I don't need that in my life. And what I'm going to pray is that God would help open your eyes to see that not only will you be closer to him, but you will have a successful life if you use the Bible. I promise you. I promise you. So last question and I'm done. Is the Bible necessary and important for your life? Right now, about 99% of you said, amen, absolutely, yes. Here's my question. When was the last time you spent time in it? Because if 99% of you say it's that important in your life, yet 16% of you actually grab it every day, we have a problem. Let's pray. Father, we're under construction in this room, and God, it's a very different message today. And Lord, I just pray for those that spend time with you, I pray that they would be encouraged today, that this would embolden and strengthen their faith with the data that we brought forward so that they can have confidence in what they're doing. God, I pray for the skeptic in this room. God, what's going to happen is they're going to talk to a friend, they're going to Google something, and they're going to try and talk themselves out of believing that the Bible is an amazing living document. And God, there's nothing I could do about that, but Lord, I pray that you would grab their heart. I pray that you would quicken it. And God, I pray that they would, for the first time in their life, say, God, I'm going to take a step of faith, because that's what it's called. I pray for the individual in this room that continues to believe that the Bible is outdated, not accurate, and not the way to live their life. God, I pray that over time, that they would see friends, family members, and they would put their pride down to the point where they see that living a life with you is far better than living a life without you. So, Father, today I pray that you bless every single individual. I pray that this would be transformational in their lives, and I pray that this week would be a better week because of it. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information about the ministries at Ocean View, or if you'd like to speak to someone directly, you can visit our website at www.ovbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.